Good morning. This is Abby with your Daily Berlin Briefing for Wednesday, November 13th, 2019. The Berlin Administrative Court has dismissed the complaint of a policeman who claimed to have obtained heavy metal poisoning while on the job. According to the spokesman, an illness must be reported within a period of 10 years after the illness becomes visible and diagnosis is possible, and the man missed the deadline to report. According to the court, the 54-year-old argued that he had contracted the poisoning through his work on insufficiently ventilated shooting ranges of the Berlin police. The man had only reported the disease in 2016, but had been incapacitated since 2003. Per the court, he should have reported the disease by 2015 at the latest in the course of press coverage. He had worked for the state of Berlin since 1982 and was last employed as a police superintendent and retired in 2008. A critical question in the hearing was whether the illness was clearly due to shooting training and whether there was no other cause. For example, the plaintiff was a smoker. An appeal can still be lodged against the judgment, and the plaintiff announced that he would take further legal steps. Recognition as an occupational disease would have direct financial consequences for the civil servant, as his pension would almost double to around 3,800 euros per month. For years, the police in the capital saved on the maintenance and renovation of dilapidated shooting ranges. The result? Countless police officers, mostly shooting trainers and members of special units, were poisoned because the exhaust air systems did not work properly. The issue became known through the RBB research in October of 2015. In the meantime, 13 former police officers have died as a result of the poisoned air, and many others still suffer from serious illnesses. In connection with the so-called shooting range affair, the public prosecutor's office continues to investigate, among other things, against former police chief Klaus Kant and his former deputy and today's general public prosecutor, Margareta Koppers. It's been 2 years since U.S. student Otto Warmbier died of severe brain damage that he may have suffered during his imprisonment in North Korea. His parents are currently in Germany and are demanding the closure of the hostel on the premises of the North Korean embassy in Berlin. It's part of their mission to take tougher action against Pyongyang wherever possible. During a visit to Berlin, the Warmbiers harshly criticized the federal government, which still, quote, tolerates foreign exchange transactions in the German capital. The reason is the hostile operation in the embassy building, with which North Korea presumably generates Western foreign exchange. Warmbier's parents demand the closure of the controversial hostel, which, from their point of view, violates UN sanctions. Berlin Briefing has previously reported about the hostile operation on Glinkerstrasse in Mitte. According to research conducted by WDR, NDR, and Süddeutsche Zeitung, the Embassy of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea sublet part of its premises in Berlin. In this way, high five-figure sums are generated every month, with the hostel operator alone paying 38,000 euros in monthly rent. According to research, the embassies of the dictatorial regime in Pyongyang are used worldwide to undermine international financial sanctions. These were imposed because of North Korea's nuclear and missile program. The practice of embassies infringes UN Security Council resolutions and EU sanctions law. Nevertheless, the German government has not yet succeeded in stopping hostile operations in Berlin. With a new tender model, which was decided yesterday, the Red-Red-Green Senate wants to strengthen competition within the Berlin S-Bahn. According to the Senate Department for Transport, the total order volume will almost be 8 billion euros over the next 3 decades, which would be the largest in the history of Berlin's S-Bahn. Last Wednesday, the coalition committee had agreed on the last details. So far, the Berlin S-Bahn and all sub-networks are in the hands of a subsidiary of Deutsche Bahn. In order to strengthen competition, the Senate is counting on more flexibility. In the past, one had to apply for the entire network. In the future, applicants will also be able to make offers for individual parts. In addition, they can choose whether they want to apply for the purchase and maintenance of the trains or for operation. A combined package of both options is also possible, and the subnetworks are the North-South connection with lines S1, S2, and S25, and the Stadtbahn system. The Senate has deliberately opted for more competition in the invitation to tender. Traffic Senator Regina Gunter of the Greens said on Tuesday after the Senate session that monopoly situations rarely led to good prices. Gunter pointed out well-known problems with the Berlin S-Bahn, such as outdated and too few cars, adding, quote, "Today, the go-ahead was given to remedy this situation." For the first time, there will also be a state-owned vehicle pool. Initially, 1,300 S-Bahn cars will be purchased. The Senate thinks this will be cheaper over a period of 15 years and expects to have a total savings potential of 800 million euros. The award procedure is to start before the end of this year, and interested parties will then have to submit their bids in a competitive bidding process. By the beginning of 2022 at the latest, it should be clear who will be awarded the contract. Beavers have struck down several trees at the Wannsee shore recently. According to Dirk Ehlert from the Senate Environment Department, the beavers cut down the trees for food. While in the summer, they find herbaceous shoots everywhere, now everything is slowly becoming bare. According to Ehlert, beavers always cut the trees so they fall into the water, and once the trunk has fallen over, they approach the upper parts of the crown. They then use some of the branches to build their home, but the larger part is either eaten immediately or is stored for later. Usually no damage is done to the shore, making sure that the area is clear and that new trees and young shoots have room to grow. In this respect, they also have an ecological function. At the same time, it's also important that the animals neither dam the spray nor the Unterhavel, for instance, that they don't cause any damage there either. There are about 100 beavers in Berlin who rarely prey on tree-lined pedestrian paths. If forest rangers see a tree along a path that has been affected, it's cut down so the animal can then get to the branches. This is also the case in public green areas. In parks and garden monuments, on the other hand, trees are protected from the rodents. The trunk is covered with a mat or also with a protective coating. While these animals are still welcome in Berlin, the rodent has developed into a plague in Brandenburg. Only 30 years ago, it was considered almost extinct there, but now its number has risen to more than 5,000. The Ministry of Agriculture in Potsdam has therefore issued a, quote, 7-point program for beaver management in Brandenburg. To stay updated on local Berlin news every weekday, subscribe to our podcast by visiting berlinbriefing.de, hear us on Spotify and bearradio.org, follow us on social media, or enable our Alexa skill. Berlin Briefing will be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.